darling. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing very fine. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for neighbor. Oh, wait, wrong show. Wait. Good afternoon. I bet this must be a delight for you there at noontime in the UK. It's only 3:30 in the morning here in California.
That's impressive, Andy. Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's still a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's gorgeous. Well, I can't really see outside, but I'm imagining it's beautiful. I'm imagining it's very nice out.
It's certainly weird to be doing this show while it's daylight, because I'm so used to seeing it just dark outside and, you know, having the glow of my lights on and, you know.
We have never done this. This is the only time we've ever done this. We're actually, yeah. How's it feel? It must be kind of cool, I imagine. I would imagine
it's weird. I actually feel semi-normal again, Andy, if that's ever possible.
Wow.
I know, right? How about you with the early hours in the morning?
Well, I was like, why am I up? And then I forgot. I'm like, oh, yeah. I slept for a little bit. I slept for like 45 minutes or an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
Was it an hour? Yeah, about an hour, almost.
Oh.
And, so, you know, I got a cup of coffee and I'm, ready to cruise the news and see what's going on in the world and solve the issues and problems of the world as we do on the show at 3:30 in the morning.
Absolutely.
If I'm capable of doing such at 3:30 in the morning.
But, I know, right?
How was your week? Oh, you know something? I can actually say this because I remember last Wednesday, I thought it was Monday. And I was, those of you guys got to hear, if you're hearing this as a podcast, which I'm sure a lot of you are, you should tune in to last Wednesday's show, because you'll hear me, which might not be this unusual, be quite delusional. I thought it was Monday.
That was funny, Andy, because even I didn't twig, and Cornell was like, what?
Yeah, I was going on and on. You know, the intro music played whatever our theme music was of the day, and, you know, say, hey, it's another week of the Andy and Amanda show. How was your weekend? Another week, we're getting ready to go, and you guys are, you know, at your own locations are probably going, what? I'm like, Amanda, how was your weekend? Hey, Cornell! You know, and for those of you who are just tuning in, Cornell is our show coordinator who usually joins us on the show, but he has other work type obligations and is unable to make this time. So Amanda and I are going without our boss. We're just the two of us here. Hey, we're alone, Amanda. You and I were alone.
Wow. Wow, I get people talking.
Hey, it should. I hope it does. You know how long I've been waiting for this? No. About 2 minutes. Anyway, no.
Just 2 minutes. Okay.
About
enough.
2 minutes. Yeah, you know.
The second. The third.
Oh, quiet, Dracula. This is the first, the Monday. The first show of the week, Monday. And how, anything exciting to report about what's going on in the UK? I know we've been hearing a lot about the various quarantine activities, efforts, and, you know, kind of taming this virus down over there. Give us an update. What's going on over there in your neck of the world?
Okay, well, I thought I'd focus on something a little bit more positive within the COVID situation. I mean, you know, because there's so much dramatic stuff as there is, but there's been a lot of quarantining going on, as you know. We talked about the hotel situation that is coming into effect, but Boris Johnson has said that today marks a crucial milestone in our ongoing race to vaccinate the most vulnerable against the deadly disease. This comes as nearly 9 million people have received their first dose of the vaccine and around 490,000 have received two shots. So the government have given the target date of the 15th of February for care home residents, carers, people over 70 and frontline workers to be vaccinated. But something that grabbed my attention the most, and I absolutely adore this guy. I don't know if you guys across the pond have heard of our heroic captain. captain, Sir Tom Moore, who is 100 years old and a former British Army captain who raised $39 million for our NHS just by walking laps of his garden with his walking frame. So, unfortunately, he has been diagnosed with COVID-19 and is in hospital. The good news is that he's not in intensive care. However, they cannot give him the vaccine due to the medication that he's been on for pneumonia. And that's sucky. That really is. And I really do hope he gets to have that. But Boris Johnson wished him a full recovery and said that Sir Tom inspired the whole nation with his charity work, and his thoughts are with Sir Tom and his family. I personally love Tom's message to the nation that he gave during our first lockdown, which was addressing a British public who have seen life turned upside down by coronavirus. The sun will shine on you again and the clouds will go away. And now this guy has gained such a huge following here and won the hearts of so many people, myself included. I mean, yeah, you see his face, Andy. You see his face, and he's just adorable. He really is. And beautiful for him, I think, and his family, is a movie is set to be made about his life, the pains of war, his relationship with his family, and the time they spent together when he moved in with them when his wife had died. It will touch on his motivation on how war inspired him to keep walking, even though he experienced and endured various issues such as a broken hip and skin cancer. But two UK companies purchased the rights, Powder Keg Pictures and Fred Films. And the movie will hopefully be shot this year. And Sir Tom's family are over the moon about the producers behind the movie, who are James Spring, Nick Moorcroft and Meg Leonard, as they have loved their previous work, such as Fisherman's Friend and Finding Your Feet. They're not two titles that I'm actually familiar with, so I don't know if anybody else has heard of them. But, yeah, I mean, just to see this guy again in the headlines was absolutely adorable. I wish him such a speedy and full recovery. He deserves it. He's done so much for this country and this nation. So, yeah, good old Tom. Keep going, man. We got your back.
Yes, we do. Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Man. Wow. Good for him.
Yeah.
Wow, terrific.
I wanted to cover those two because I think they're just more of a positive, you know, situation. We've still got the battle going on with Europe, you know.
You bet. We always like, we talk about such, the things and the issues going on in the world today with this virus and the politics of the United States. And,
I mean, sorry, darling.
No, go ahead. Continue. I'm just, we've been talking about such. I insist. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Don't ask me. Ask China that question.
I know. Okay, you go
China,
then.
Excuse me. China. Yes. Excuse me. Yeah. Can we have your attention, please? Yeah.
Really?
Yes. What were you going to say, sweetheart?
But we've been, so much of the show has been covering the election and the reaction to Trump and all the right-wing extremists here and the invasion of the Capitol building and the horrific numbers of the coronavirus and round and round we go. And, we do try to cover different news stories, and we have, it's just a dominating, with all these deaths and people just, hundreds of thousands of people, millions around the world dying from this incredible enemy of ours, and this virus. That every time we're on the show, we've been talking about it a lot, and rightfully so, I guess. It's what we do.
Yeah.
But to hear some positive and just moving forward, empowering news is very refreshing, I must say. It is.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, there was something a little close to home regarding the whole COVID situation. In fact, two neighbors of ours, they had COVID recently, and they were saying how they really struggled with it. They were short of breath and stuff like that, and that was the hardest part. Thankfully, both of them have recovered, but they said they wouldn't wish it on anybody. Bless them. I'm so grateful that they have recovered, but, there are plenty out there who's not that fortunate. And like you said, Andy, this is such a serious situation, and it's not exactly slowing down. And it is and it isn't at the same time. I mean, some of the numbers are dropping here, as I'm sure they are in the US, maybe. Is that right? Are they dropping
here? Okay. Yes, they've dropped below 100,000 in hospital admissions for the first time in a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, here's the interesting aspect of that. We're starting to get that vaccine, at least the first and second doses are starting to come out now. You know, I'm in line just a couple of weeks to get my second dose of the Modelo. Not Modelo. That's the beer. I keep getting that too, by the way.
Armadillo?
Get my second dose. Yeah. Hey, you know, we do another one of these shows at 3:30 in the morning. I wonder if I can still have my vodka and Kona beer. I haven't done that yet, but that would be interesting.
Why not? I mean, come on.
Why not? But I'm in line to get my second dose of the Moderna. There it is, Moderna. On February 11th, and I'm done. I guess, you know, it's behind me. I mean, I can still infect people, as we talked how that works, you know. But the I'm done, you know. And I wonder, because many folks now have also received already, especially healthcare workers, have received their second dose of the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine. I wonder if that is taking a hit. I believe that it's too early for that to take a hit in terms of watching to really see this thing trending downward in a big, you know, overwhelming type of population, you know, anything significant. But what I think is that people are truly being careful. They're wearing masks. And what is interesting thing is, you know, Biden came into office, you know, less than a month ago and is stressed, you know, wearing a mask first 100 days. As a matter of fact, what went into law today, this morning, is the regulation here in the United States that you must wear a mask when traveling on any form of transportation, bus, train, plane. You will not be admitted on that ride without a mask, and that is a national policy that's kicking in today. And you know what is it? And there, you know, there's actually a national policy now that we've never had from almost a year now from the onset of this dreadful virus. We've never had a national policy. All we've had was. It's you know, the stock market's doing okay and it's under control and we got this and I'm the greatest.
Yeah. Well, you are. This is true, but you know.
I am the greatest. I am.
Yes,
I know.
Of course.
And I wonder. Let's watch the numbers. You know, as we move forward, and we'll go over those numbers, what the specifics are in terms of the deaths of the last couple of days, and the hospital admissions, and the new cases. But it's trending downward. And is it too early to say that it is a trend, or is it just, well, here's the numbers for the last couple of days, and hey, they're lower than a couple of days previously, but tomorrow they're expected to be high. I feel like a weatherman. Tomorrow the expected high is going to be.
Wow, you're doing so well.
Thank you.
No one ever thought, Andy, you were a weatherman.
Huh. Andy the weatherman. Cap Mandy. Yeah. Do you know, here, the President Biden today is going to meet with Republican senators, actually 10 of them, because they have drawn up a counterproposal to the, $1.9 trillion COVID rescue plan that is right now, it's the only thing we have proposed right now. We'll see what happens at that meeting. We'll see what happens. We don't know.
Can you hear me, darling? I'm back.
Yes. Now I hear you.
Technical glitch.
a glitch. Okay, it's happened before. It's, you know, it's okay. It's one of those things. We use the internet to put this show out, and I thought I was going on and on there saying, are we? Hello?
I'm sorry, I need to make you sweat like that.
Yeah, you know, at 3:30 in the morning is probably good for me.
Are you looking
tonight? Oh, yes, you sing so well. Every tune you sing, I'm telling you, just keep going. I want to keep saying, keep going, keep singing. I was saying, man, before we lost you, I thought we lost me, actually. I didn't know.
I did start with, it went all quiet.
Yeah, but I was yapping away. It's probably why it went so quiet. Say, Andy, shut up. You're tired of hearing me. I'm tired of hearing me. Anyway,
I'm putting yourself down.
I was just saying before you so rudely hung up on me that.
Yes.
I know. There was a $1.9 trillion COVID rescue plan that Biden had put in, proposed, that he drew up actually before his swearing in that we've been talking about. And we've talked about it. It's been in the news, and the particulars of which you can read up on. You don't need me to tell you, but we've gone over it in the show. Anyway, it is a very, very inclusive and broad-reaching rescue plan. And he's meeting with senators today in Washington. They're trying to get a very rare, this would be interesting, bipartisan deal at the start of the new administration. The new administration. Less than a third of the size. His original legislation proposed direct payments to most Americans and extends unemployment benefits until September, as it seeks to really. Fill a huge hole in the economy caused by the coronavirus. It also raises the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. That's federal wage, meaning government workers, not forcing private businesses to pay that per hour. And that would fulfill one of Biden's campaign promises. He wanted to see the minimum wage go up $15 an hour, pretty much if he can do it across. Across the country, and I think that would be a hard. That's I say I'm an entrepreneur and I got this business going, and an art gallery, a sandwich shop, a pizzeria, retail store of some sort. Not a chain, but my own store. And finally up to the point where I can afford maybe getting somebody to work behind the counter, somebody taking new inventory when it comes in, somebody to help out with customers, and I can pay, $10 an hour, $9.75, $11 an hour. And then the government comes in and says you have to pay your employees now $15 an hour. Remember, when you have an employee here in the United States, the employer actually pays 15% more than that. And that extra 15% is their contribution to their employee withholding tax.
Right. Okay.
So if I pay an employee $100, my cost is $115. Right.
Right.
So
okay.
So if I have this small business, and the government comes and says, well, you have to pay everybody $15 an hour, I'm saying, well, I can't have a business then. I can't afford to do it. Who's going to give me the cash to pay that money?
Yeah,
and not only that, but I've got some kids here who just got out of high school or on spring break or on whatever just for whatever reason couldn't find a job, and I have one for them and they're qualified, and now they can't get a job and I can't pay them. So in the spirit of entrepreneurship, I feel that the government shouldn't be coming in and telling a private business. A certain base level, yes, of course, or else, of course, but to go up, go up to, 15, 18, 20, whatever it is, a dollar, and the government mandate that, then, say goodbye to small business and possibility. Ain't gonna happen.
Of course. No.
But from the federal standpoint, what Biden's proposing is just federal jobs, federal minimum wage. If you work for the government, federal government, not state government, federal government, then the federal government will pay you a minimum of $15 an hour day one. And I guess I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because here's why I'm okay with that. If I have to pay a few dollars more in taxes to support that, and it gives somebody a job and gives a working mom, a single mom or a young mom or, whoever, not a mom, I don't care. Give somebody an opportunity to get a job and to make a decent wage. They don't have to get two or three jobs and to feed their kids and put clothes on their backs and put food on the table and pay their utility bills. Then I'll pay a few more dollars in tax to support that. I'll pay it.
Sorry, go on.
I won't pay the whole bill. I'll pay a few dollars more.
No, that I can understand that. I mean, I would feel the same way, and I think it's wonderful that you feel that way. And I don't think enough people would see it that way. Maybe I'm wrong, if I am wrong and there's people listening to this conversation, please call in and let us know or email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. I got that right, didn't I?
Yes.
Email address?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think that is such a wonderful, positive attitude to help a country move forward in this type of situation. And if only more people thought like that, you know, then a lot more people, I think, would be better off. And I understand that it can be difficult if you've got these high hopes for money that you're earning and, you know, providing education for your children, paying for your home, no matter what it is. I can understand the selfishness that we tend to have. And we've, I'm sure we've all been guilty of it, you know. But to have that attitude, I say yes. I'm all for it, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, and so I'm all for that. I'm all for that, and I'm hoping that the senators, evidently they have an issue with that. Again, we're talking federal wages. We're not talking about a private business person. We're talking about the government paying employees $15 an hour. The president, you know, Joe Biden's now, I suppose, he's got to evaluate whether the new Republican offer is in good faith and truly opens discussion, opens a bid in an effort to find some kind of common ground where we can begin to move forward in a bipartisan fashion. Or is it a bluff, you know, a big bluff calling exercise that would cause lasting damage to a new president's authority and political capital if he were to accept it? So it'd be interesting. We'll see how this begins. You know, now that Biden's kind of okay, he's had this, new administration. We're giving him okay, get your feet wet. You're diving into it. A lot of promises. A lot of great feel, heartfelt feel in mending and moving the country forward and creating opportunity in many respects, getting the economy back, sending kids back to school, and it's been wonderful to hear. What he's had to say, and you really feel, you don't just hear what he has to say, you feel what he's saying, and he really feels this, and I think it's wonderful, again, compared to what we've had over the last 4 years. He's now, you know, after serving 36 years in the Senate, we've got to see if he can, you know, prove his capacity to make a divided Washington work. You know, he knows he risks fracturing support from Capitol Hill Democrats if he significantly downsizes his own plan to win. You know, it's giving in what they might interpret as giving in to support Republican the Senate. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, we
don't
know.
I feel for him. I really do, because that's quite a situation to walk into, right? I mean, having to clean up office after somebody has, you know, made a right mess of it, let's face it. And correct a lot of wrongs, and I the responsibility on my shoulders like that, I'd be woo, okay, this is a lot. I personally don't think I would be able to cope with that type of responsibility, because that is a huge responsibility to run a country. And hats off to him, Andy. I look forward to seeing what happens next and the progress he makes, and I just hope that some sort of unity that he really wants to happen takes place, and they can see that he's not out to harm anybody, and make some really positive changes like he's already started.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And we should talk about, I guess, our guest who is scheduled to come on the show, and barring any, you know, sudden obligation or something, we expect to have none other but Mark Lester, who many will remember as the little boy at the time who played Oliver in the movie Oliver, the Lionel Bart film of 1968.
Yeah, what a great movie.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh, it just makes me smile so much.
Yeah, I agree, and the music and the film and the tone of the film, and it's just one of those just really those classic movies that you can dive into and watch time and time again, you know, time and time again.
Yeah. It did make me cry quite a bit too, I gotta be honest.
You know, the
sad moments.
The only movie that really made me cry, and I'm trying to think back, may have been like Let me think. Mary Poppins, I think.
Oh, yeah. Is that for me, too?
Medicine. Dick. Yeah, remember Dick Van Dyke? Yes,
of course.
Oh, and he was also in, do you remember, this made me cry too, Bye Birdie. Remember Bye Birdie?
Yes.
Oh my God, you gotta be serious. Oh my God. Kids, was Shelley Winters?
Yes. My goodness.
And Dick Van Dyke, oh my God. Oh, and one last kiss. Oh, baby, just like this. Baby, one last kiss. You should see why they never got me in any of these parts. Don't leave me off my own. Thank you.
Fabulous, darling, fabulous. Don't be surprised when you need them. Where they go?
Thank you. Yeah. We have to wake them up. Okay, where's my audience? I don't have an audience here today. It's me. I'm sitting here.
That's disgraceful. You know, nobody, you gave them notice.
There's nobody to clap. I'm sitting here by myself. Come on, let me wake these people up.
Okay, hang on. There you go, darling. There you go.
I like the sound of that. That was great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Couldn't leave you like that, though. You know.
I appreciate it. Yes, I appreciate it, because other than that, it could have been a...
Toffee.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, darling, absolutely.
Yeah. But, so anyway, Mark Lester should be joining us, and we got his invite out.
I just not so long ago contacted him to make sure he received it. And he said he didn't receive the one from you, so I forwarded the one that I have, and hopefully he should be able to connect.
All right, I just sent him another one about a minute and a half ago, so let's see, maybe he'll get it now.
Okay, no problem. He'll let me know. Yeah. But talking of Dick Van Dyke, sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I always remember... The British media commenting on his Cockney accent that he did, you know, the London Cockney accent, which I can never replicate. All right, Gav? That's the best I can do.
Hello.
All right, Gav?
Hello, Gav.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I think he did a good job considering. I mean, I remember when I first heard it and I thought, yeah, when you're a kid, you don't really pay much attention. And then later in years when I listened back to it, I was like, actually, yeah, I can see what they mean. But, you know, even his, I think his language coach, what do you call them? Accent coach? I don't know. I don't know what the correct...
Yeah, they are. Here's what they call them. They call them dialect coaches.
Dialect coach. That's it, Andy. Thank you very much. So, yeah, even he was saying that he was a little shocked by his performance, which I feel so sorry for Dick Van Dyke. But I think he carried it off very well and, you know... he enjoyed himself, and he takes it with a pinch of salt, and he has humour about the situation. So, yeah, I just remember that.
That's right.
Bless him. Yeah.
Yes, he's still with us. Dick Van Dyke is still with us.
Yeah.
And he had went on to have a oh my gosh, yeah, what is an actor, song and dance man, just really really fabulous, a lot of fun, and he to have his own TV show called The Dick Van Dyke Show here in the United States that lasted quite a while through the 60s. And that was a funny show. It was good. It was a good TV show. Good TV. We had good TV back then. I don't really watch TV these days, I guess because there's nothing that really attracts me. But I wonder if I'm in the demographic that they want to attract anyway. They probably would take one look at me and say, nah. No, we don't want him to watch our show. you know, but when they put together the shows, well, okay, listen, we've done the same thing here. We know who our audience is. We have a particular demographic that we kind of target that would be more likely to tune in to listen to our nonsense. Our talk and conversation and our news and our importance and our significance within the community we serve, which we believe is very real.
Yes.
Of course. But we do have, you know, we do target marketing to certain demographic groups, and when they do as every show does, you know. So, you know, but I wonder if when they do TV shows, and they design these pilots, they must, you know, say who are you going to attract to watch this show? And yes. you get to be old like me, and I think I'm out of the loop. Oh well. You know, no more Dick Van Dyke show for Andy.
Bless you, Andy. Bless you. I'm just speaking to Mark right now, trying to get him connected. He's having some issues. He can hear us, but he can't seem to connect.
Hey, Mark, if you can hear us, welcome to the show. Amanda's working on it there. You should be able to, you know, I think we did this technically right. I think we sent the emails. You should receive the link and should be able to join us.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark,
yeah,
good afternoon to you. I know you can't speak back, but I'm sending my greetings from Hollywood, California to you and welcome you on board the show if we can get you connected here.
Bless you, Andy. Yeah. Okay, I've just contacted him. So if you're listening, Mark, I've just sent you an email, my darling, and hopefully we can get you connected.
Yeah, hit the link that Amanda sent. Hit the link. As I recall, we tried to contact Elvis last week, and he didn't respond either for whatever reason.
I know. I thought that was so rude, Andy. You know, we were so nice and polite and, you know, just really eager to speak to him and just hear his stories. But no, he cut us off.
Did I tell you? I think I sent you a message yesterday that I had suspicious minds in my head all day long yesterday.
Oh, Andy, I apologize. Yes. Mark is calling now, I think. I'll put him on loudspeaker, okay?
Okay, great. Let me see if I can hear him. Hello, are you with us?
Hello, is that Mark?
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I just can't seem to... I'm on an iMac, and for some reason I downloaded the Chrome, but I can't figure it out.
Oh, that's okay, sweetheart. No problem. I'm putting you on loudspeaker so you can connect this way on the show. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, absolutely fine, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us. I think you'll be able to hear Andy. There might be a slight...
I got it. I can hear you.
Yeah, okay.
It's coming through my speakers, but... Yeah. Obviously, you can't hear me through the computer, but you can hear me through the phone, so...
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so there might be a slight delay where you hear Andy.
Yeah, sure.
So just to keep you informed. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Oh, that's
How are
great.
You?
We're great. Andy's hanging in there. It's 4 a.m. for you now, right, Andy?
It is.
Oh, my God.
But Mark, I gotta tell you, Mark, can you hear
that's
me okay?
Early.
Can you hear me okay?
Very early.
It is. I think he can. Yeah, he can hear us chatting on the show, but I think there's quite a delay, Andy.
I gotta tell Mark, when I had the opportunity to be a stay-at-home
about
dad.
Five-second delay.
Okay, sweetheart, thank you. There's a five-second delay, Andy, so...
Okay. I had the opportunity, Mark, to be a stay-at-home dad, and I introduced my daughter at the time, who was about 2 years old, to the movie Oliver, and after her first seeing the movie, she watched it all day, every day, memorized every line, and we walked around the apartment, and she was playing you, and I was... Mr. Bumble and all the other parts and Fagin, and if I missed a line, that was the end of it. And at the time, her being 2 years old, she didn't know that all the kids in the orphanage and Fagin's gang were probably dads themselves at that time. And I got on the internet and I said, let's do some research and see if we figure out where a lot of these people are. We found you, Mark, and I sent you an email. And you wrote back to us, and I was more excited than my daughter Justine. And you sent us a note that said how great it was to be remembered so fondly. Something that happened a long time ago, and I treasured that email, Mark.
Oh, Andy.
Well, that's a really sweet story.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. You got excited about this, Mark. going back. I explained to you in email that we were doing a show and we were talking about Christmas movies, and we were talking about Oliver because it comes up as a classic and they quite often used to show it around Christmas time.
Yep.
And your name came up. We were like, oh, Mark Lester, such a legend. I was like, you're never going to believe this. He's got a clinic in Cheltenham, because of course that's my hometown. And we were just like, we've got to get a hold of Mark and see if he'll come on the show. So we're absolutely thrilled that you're here to join us, and it's been beautiful connecting with you, Mark.
Oh, fantastic. Well, my pleasure.
Oh, bless you. Andy, do you have any questions for Mark?
Yeah, so Mark, I feel like some questions that we had, some emails. The movie Oliver, now you've been on many, many shows, I know, and I've talked about this so many times in your career, and you probably push a play button and have it all be regurgitated on autopilot, and I realize that. But given that, the production of that movie was just incredible. Was most of it all done on sound stages?
Yes. The entire movie was shot in Shepperton Studios, except for one scene where Oliver is walking towards London. Yeah. That's the only time we actually stepped outside of the studio.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, a huge set. We had the whole of Shepperton Studios.
Wow, that's incredible, because that is something that often blows my mind when I think about movies, you know, how it looks so realistic to be outside, and then you find out, well, actually, it was all done in a studio, and I'm like, okay, mind blown.
Yeah, I get people coming up to me and saying, oh, I remember when you did Who Will Buy and you filmed in Bath Crescent. No, we didn't film in Bath Crescent.
Oh, wow.
It looks like it's actually supposed to be Bloomsbury Square.
Okay.
But that was on the back lot of Shepperton Studios. It was completely, the whole facade was, you could see the front, and at the back it was all propped up by wood.
Wow. That is incredible. Did you hear that, Andy?
Yeah, pretty, it really is. But during the music scenes, when they were singing, was there actual music playing? Were the actors actually singing, or they put that in afterward, the audio?
Well, what they played a playback. So we could hear the music, and we sang along with it. But because we then went into the studio, the recording studio after, so we polished it all up by singing in sound studio quality, recording studio.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's some songs on there that I just I probably sing in my head so often in life, especially I'm reviewing the situation, because I'm always reviewing every situation, so that song always popping into my head.
I know, right? Those songs are pretty legendary. That's amazing. But Mark, a question for you, darling. So was it something that you really wanted to do as a child to get into acting, or was it more something that was brought forward by your parents, as they were both actors themselves?
Yeah, I was put into a stage school when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know anything different. And that was my first school. It was a school called Corona Academy.
That's unfortunate.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So I kind of really didn't have much of a choice, but I enjoyed it. I used to get lots of work, used to do lots of TV commercials, lots of catalogue shoots. So I was out a lot.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I got the role of Oliver, which was fantastic, because that took over a year to make.
Wow, okay. A year. That blows my mind as well, how long movies and even TV show episodes or whatever, they take so long to make, and the amount of takes that you have to do. Because Andy has been in acting yourself, haven't you, Andy?
Yeah, for about... I moved out to California, to L.A., about 6 years ago and met an agent. I'm a guitar player. That's my main gig, is I'm a touring blues player. And I met an agent who spent some time with me and then asked me if I ever thought about doing commercials or TV shows. And I play guitar. And lo and behold, to this day, I've done about 22 different productions, just small roles, nothing major. I've had a lead role on a TV pilot, which is still under production, but it's been fun. And again, my gig is doing a show, and also I'm a guitar player. I, in a non-COVID environment, I'd be out playing shows, doing folk festivals, blues festivals. But the acting, what a learning experience, as you said, how all the sets, all the production, all the technical details that you really don't think too much about when you're sitting here, you know, watching a movie or TV, what goes on behind the scenes is pretty incredible. And you, aside from Oliver, you've done quite a bit, a television series and other films, and you were quite busy as a young actor.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was working more than I was at school.
No.
Which is great. It's not a me.
Yeah.
I still had my lessons on while I was on set. By law, you have to do that. But
wow.
I've been as Andy was saying, I've been over to LA quite a few times. In fact, a very good friend of mine is over there at the moment in Carmel, which is a bit further up the coast.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm hoping next
also,
time you ever get...
my other half, she's an American, and we're desperate to get back. She's from Dallas, Texas, and she wants to get back and see her mum. We normally go back for Thanksgiving, but we couldn't because of the COVID thing at the moment.
Yeah, of course.
Waiting, hopefully, for when things come back to some sort of normality.
Oh, bless. That is such a difficult situation to be in with everything that's going on right now.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's terrible for everybody. So,
yeah.
You know, we just have to sit back. I just had my first dose of the vaccine. So.
Oh, wow. How are you finding it?
It was absolutely fine.
Yeah? Okay.
I went down to Bristol, sat in for about 10 minutes after I had the vaccine to make sure I wasn't going to start foaming at the mouth.
Yeah. Oh, good. Bless you. Yeah, Andy recently had his first shot, and he's due his second one on the 11th. Is that right, Andy? Is that what you said?
Yes, the 11th of February. Yeah. Which vaccine did you get, Mark? Which one?
Well, I got the Oxford AstraZeneca one.
Okay. Did you hear that, Andy? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Andy ended up with the Moderna one, is that right?
Yes, yep.
That's what you said earlier, yes, yeah.
That's good. So, you know, hopefully, once we've been, you know, clear, I think it takes about 3 weeks after the second dose, and then, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't be allowed to travel.
That would be amazing. I think so many people are desperately trying to get to various places for, even if it's just a holiday break, and even for business, because a lot of people have been restricted for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Because we like traveling. We probably travel at least, I don't know, 10 times a year, backwards and forwards to the States, all over Europe, and we haven't been able to do anything.
Oh, I know, right? It feels like a caged animal, because when you've been so used to that freedom, yeah.
Fortunately, I've been able to, so there's no restrictions on my working.
Oh, that's
otherwise,
beautiful.
Exactly. So otherwise, I would have been going spare.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy, you sounded like you want to say something, sweetheart.
Yeah, I was going to ask about how this has impacted your medical practice.
Yeah, well, of course, it has impacted it because it's made a lot of people very frightened to actually go outside, and so my numbers have reduced greatly, but I'm still working. It's ticking over. The people are allowed to come and visit me, but it's very, very slow at the moment, and people are very cautious, which is understandable.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I noticed, checking into your background, that you took karate and got a black belt. That is awesome. And you said you gained interest in sports injuries and from there osteopathy. How do you pronounce that word?
That's good.
Yeah, I just, was there something specific that triggered that said, you know what, I'm going to look into this?
Yeah, when I was doing karate, there was a lot of minor injuries, sort of broken toes and ribs.
Yeah.
And just things that no one really seemed to know what to do about. And in some of the tournaments, there's some John's Ambulance people there, but they just sort of take you to one side and give you a cup of tea.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, it would be quite a good idea to actually investigate a profession which dealt with sports injury, and that's what led me to become an osteopath.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Because, you know, some people, they experience something, whether it's a profound shift in them, something they've seriously been injured from, or, you know, but I always find it fascinating to ask that type of question. I'm always intrigued to see what people's answers are as to what led them in a different direction and follow that path.
Yeah, sure. A lot of people, when I was doing my training, had actually been treated by an osteopath themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what made them choose that profession. But in fact, I'd never had had treatment at all prior to my choosing that path.
Wow, okay. Actually, funny enough, I spoke to a friend about this show yesterday. His name's Robin, and he came to see you, I think it was in 1997, and he said that you did an amazing job on him because he had a lower back injury, and that you also helped his hay fever issues, which to this day, he hasn't had a problem since.
Oh, well, that's really nice to hear.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's that would have been with the acupuncture, because I'm also an acupuncturist.
Yes.
And there's so many people that do suffer badly with hay fever.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
Which, you know, acupuncture is often overlooked as a treatment modality, and it can be extremely effective. I have people that just come in once a year, they have one treatment, and then they go off, and it keeps them okay for the rest of the year.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing.
You're talking to a horrible... I have such...
You know, it's sort of under the radar for some reason. It should be more mainstream.
You know, I agree with you on that, and I don't think it's made... It's not brought into the public eye enough. Like, you got the whole mental health issues now with mindfulness, and I think things like that should be included. Because
acupuncture is extremely relaxing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had it yourself.
No, I haven't, but always wanted to try it.
Yeah, I mean, for stress and relaxation, it's extremely effective by certain points.
Yeah.
And it puts you into a really meditative type state.
Yeah.
But it's just not used as much as it really should be.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that, Mark. Andy, over to you.
I've had such incredibly horrible hay fever my whole life. I used to get, my father was a chief of medicine at a big hospital in Philadelphia, and used to give me 2 shots every 5 days, which really did nothing. But I had such hay fever that during hay fever season, if I was as a kid or as a teenager, if I was out on a date and the woman was wearing perfume, I couldn't go near her. I'd start sneezing because I'd be so sensitive all the time. And my eyes would look like golf balls all the time in schools. They send me to the nurse's office. It's been horrible. And it appears that what you provide in the services of acupuncture can actually alleviate some of that is music to my ears.
Yeah, well, you should really look into that.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Andy, get on it. You've got to do it, Mark. Yeah. You've got to do it.
Mark, where is your medical practice? Where are you located there so our listeners can...
Oh, in California? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think down San Diego way, there's an international school, but there are a lot of acupuncturists in Los Angeles.
Wonderful. Did you hear that, Andy?
Yes, I did. Yes. Yeah. Where's your clinic located, Mark? Where's your office?
Okay, my office is based in Cheltenham. I'm quite central. in a place called The Park, which is near where the university campus is, but there's a row of Georgian houses, and I have an apartment there, and I have a garden office, if you like, which I've converted into a clinic.
It's very beautiful, Mark. I've gone past it so many times, and I love that area completely. It's just stunning, absolutely stunning energy.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. I'm very thankful that I managed to find this property here. Oh. I used to live on the other side of Cheltenham, which was lovely, but this is so quiet, so peaceful.
It is gorgeous.
I have a huge garden, which is great, and I built a Swedish-style log cabin in the garden,
which
enables me to practice.
Mark, you made me so jealous.
Do you live in Cheltenham, then?
I do, my darling, I do. And I'm the other side of town. I try not to give my location away on the show.
No.
But, yeah, I love Cheltenham. Yeah. It's such a beautiful place.
Cheltenham is a jewel. It really is. It's we're very lucky. And we got surrounded by the Cotswolds, of course, where everyone wants to come.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'm not sure if you know about the Cotswolds, Andy. Done in just rows and rows of countryside and beautiful cottages and, you know, listed buildings, and it's just, there's so much history. It's stunning.
Prince Charles and Princess Anne both live in the Cotswolds.
Yes, they do. Yes.
They do.
And a lot of celebrities tend to want to come and live here, and absolutely incredible. We're very blessed to have people want to come and be in this beautiful part of the world.
Well, we have the lovely David Beckham up the road as well.
Oh, David Beckham! I'd forgot about that.
Yeah, I bumped into him actually in Dalesford Farm Shop.
Wow! That's incredible.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, because he sings it on TV when you see him on various shows.
Lovely. We had a chat.
Aww.
He didn't know me from Adam, but he's very recognisable.
Yeah, definitely. You can't miss David Beckham. Oh, my goodness. He's such a legend.
Wow,
but, is there anything else you'd like to ask Andy?
Yeah, so Mark, you have kids.
Are you on the coast or in land or whereabouts?
In L.A., I am in Pasadena, right near Pasadena. I'm about 6 miles from downtown L.A.
I know Pasadena. There's a bridge, and then there's some sort of flower festival that goes on every year. And I've got a friend who's a doctor, actually, who lives in Pasadena, and I've been to the house there. It's lovely, lovely area.
Yeah, it's beautiful here. I am 5 miles from the mountains, from incredible hiking, from just great hiking, and 17 miles from the beach. So we've got the best of both, and it's just far enough out of L.A., just that we're kind of away from a lot of the crowds and people. We have our own little community here, but I can jump on any freeway to get anywhere, to Malibu or to the beaches or up to the mountains, wherever. It's just been wonderful. I'm from Philadelphia originally, and came out here about 6 years ago. Actually, I came out for 2 years and then I moved back. And then came out again, and then decided that we had a big snowstorm, and I was shoveling the driveway, and I said, I yelled to my wife, sell the house, we're going back to California. We came back out. My wife is both a physical therapist and an occupational therapist, and teaches physical therapy at a university here.
Wow, that's incredible.
Well, that's fantastic. My girlfriend's American, and we're a good friend of mine. He's just put an offer in on a house in Carmel. So we might look in the future to, I like Monterey and that, around that area, so we might look for a little summer house there.
Oh, wow, that'd be beautiful if you do. Of course, the UK will miss you, Mark.
I wouldn't ever leave.
I'll try not to cry.
Like to spend the winters in California.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see why. Yes,
Mark,
Andy?
If you you get to come out to California, I'm hoping you won't be a stranger. And as they said in the movie, the drinks are on the house.
I love it, Andy.
You know what? I will take you up on that as soon as I can get on that plane and, you know, COVID-free, hopefully.
Wow.
You'll be going, first stop will be Fort Worth, Dallas-Fort Worth, and then
wow.
See my other half's family, and then
yeah.
I'll probably flick across down to Vegas, which we love, and then
oh, wonderful.
Hopefully over to L.A.,
wow.
Yeah, we will pick you up at LAX. Yeah, Vegas is about a 4-hour drive from us. It's just great being here. You know, everything's close by. I go down to San Diego, or you can, you know, 5 hours up to San Francisco by driving, and it's just a beautiful existence here. And a great, you know, we'd love to get you because the connection's been kind of crazy. We realize that. But we'd love to invite you back on. Maybe we'll figure out what the technical issues are, and we'll work on that, you know, behind the scenes, and then bring you back on here in the future sometime, and where we can have a more, what we say, time sensitive conversation.
Yeah, sure.
It would be great to do. Do you ever, hey, Mark, you being a dad, have you?
To make it work properly.
Oh, bless you, darling. It's okay. I had issues when I first started this gig.
I think it's the iMac, because it asked me to download Chrome, which I did, but
yeah.
Still, for some reason, didn't want to connect through Chrome. I don't know, because I was on Safari, but...
Okay.
Which is the default operating system of the Mac, but
yeah.
I did download Google. Chrome.
Yeah.
But... it didn't seem to want to do anything with it.
I tend to have issues with Chrome sometimes when I'm trying to connect to the show, and the boys, bless them, they bear with me as much as possible. They're so good. They're so good to me. I get these timeout issues on the show, and I'm like, I'm back.
Well, that's the trouble when you're relying on the internet.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. But we try and make it work, don't we, Ann?
Yeah, we do. I want to try something. Maybe we'll do it. You know, we have a way of doing a show where it's not, excuse me, our listeners, but we have a way of doing a show where we can pre-record it. It's a live show, but the public can't hear it, so we can load it later as a pre-recorded show. And I have the ability here to phone you, and I think it uses Skype. What I might want to do, like down the road, we'll work it out with Amanda, and just try a little, like 5 or 10 minute trial, and see if I can call you from my board here, because I think it uses Skype, which case I can actually connect with you directly and bring you into the show that way. But we'll work on that. Down, we'll get you back on, and we'll try something. We'll try it down the road again.
That's awesome. And is there anything else that you would love to share with us about? Whatever you like, my darling. There's
well,
perfect opportunity.
Say, it's been really nice to be on your show, and a big hello to all the listeners, both here in the UK and there in the States.
Oh, thank
I'm
you.
I'm half English, half American, so...
Wow. that's what it's like, great.
Yeah, I love both countries.
No.
And, just be kind to everybody, and keep well, and hopefully we'll all... get through this strange times that we're living in.
Absolutely. And guys, anybody listening, check
out... One more question here. Just going down my questions here that I've been handed, and that is, when you're a dad, you've got kids yourself, what were your own kids' reaction when they saw you in the movie Oliver?
Good question, Andy.
Well, it's funny you should say that. My youngest daughter, Olivia, she turned to me and she said, "Dad, I didn't realise you had such a hard life. You were born in that wood."
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh my goodness. Kids are like that, though, aren't they? They see things, they take them for what they are.
I believe that was my early life.
Oh, that's adorable. Do you tell many people that story? Does it embarrass her?
Yeah, she's a sweetie. She's 25 now.
Wow, bless her. Oh, they're adorable. When they start to get older, and the hormones start changing in girls,
That's great.
Yeah. Boys should be a bit more of a rascal, I believe, but I don't know. I can only.
I think my I've got a son. I got three girls and a boy, and my son was definitely the easiest one.
Really? Wow.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I wonder if that's like a male-to-male connection thing or whether it's just that you're surrounded by three hormonal girls.
Maybe that's true.
Yeah. Well, my darling, is that all from you, Andy?
Yes, yeah, Mark, we'll try this again, and I also would like to, looking ahead here, because we have different areas of, you know, and fields that we talk about that are affecting many Americans, both from a political sense, an environmental sense, a medical sense, and one of those areas is what it, something that affects medically so many people in the population, and that is low back pain. And I want to talk to you about that in detail and what you guys have been doing and what treatments and what ideas and suggestions you might have for people who have that, especially as you get you and I are close in age. And I know sometimes when I stoop down, I'm reluctant to do so. I'm like, oh boy, uh-oh. We'll talk about that and be, you know, look forward to having you back as a guest on our show again, and wish you all the very best. Very nice to meet you, Mark. I can't tell you how absolutely, you know, the impact that film that you were in as a young boy has had on me and my life and my kids' life, and just what a wonderful thing you've done and contributed to the world by your presence in that film. I got to tell you, it's just been an amazing, and to have you here and to talk to you in person is like, I don't know.
It's like a dream come true, isn't it, Andy? Because I feel
there's no words. There are no words, Mark. No words.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say that.
You're welcome.
I'm very proud to have been involved in a production that was so popular and still is. And I'd be very delighted to talk to you about a subject which is closer to my heart, which is obviously musculoskeletal pain, including most specifically back pain. That's obviously my speciality.
Yeah,
That would be a very good subject to broach.
Okay, no problem.
Let's plan on that. Let's definitely plan on that. We'll do it. We'll hook up to Amanda, and we'll schedule, and we might do a trial of some sort before that, just to make sure the connection works better on the internet. We'll try that, and then we'll bring it back on. Sound like a plan?
Yeah, that sounds absolutely perfect. A great plan.
Okay, wonderful. I know we've got many excited listeners listening today, so I'm sure they'll be eager to hear that, and we'll put the promotion out there at the right time for you. Thank you so much for connecting with us, Mark. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you, darling. We're truly grateful, and I wish you all the best with the clinic and seeing your partner and getting to travel again, right?
Yes.
Bless you, darling. Okay, well, thank you, and you take care, and we look forward to being in touch with you again.
Okay,
thanks much.
No problem. Bye, darling.
Bye.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Lester, the Carlton Clinic, a osteopathic acupuncture practice in the UK, and in Amanda's neck of the world, actually very close by Amanda, and also, of course, the star in the movie Oliver, and many, many other, you know, he's also in, well, maybe next time he's back on the show, we'll talk about other movies like Fahrenheit 451, which is another classic film that he had an appearance in as well, and many others we'll touch upon. But as he was saying, and what he does now, and I didn't ask him, maybe we'll touch this a little bit next time around too, is he ever, you know, interested in doing any, you know, any acting parts at all these days, or in the past years, or would like to do something even as a side thing. But anyway, what I'd love to get him back on, and we will, is to talk about ailments and physical pain and remedies provided by acupuncture and other services that he provides there at the Carlton Clinic, and what suggestions and remedies he might have. Just because, remember, we're in 15 countries around the world, and growing. And the population of followers, and the population of followers that we have in those countries is elevating. You know, we're starting to gain more listeners in those countries. You know, before, because we what happens, I've got a map of the world here and on the computer, and I'm tied into what our show is doing and where we're at. And when a new country comes on board, even just a couple of listeners, it lights up. But I don't know if that means, we could have one person in some little island, you know, outside of Japan, and boom, all of Japan lights up. Whoa, hey. Well, in the meantime, there's one person sitting in their hut in the you know, whatever, looking for something to do on the internet, and they come across our show and they say, "Oh, this is interesting." Oh, you know,
Spock's fishing on the radio, but
those numbers are starting to creep up, or in all the countries around the world, or most of them, not all of them, but most of them, they're starting to creep up, and which is great. Of course, you know, the bulk of our audience being here in the United States and being in the UK, and we want to. We hope everybody's had a wonderful lunchtime hour there, listening to Amanda and myself and our special guest Mark Lester. And I was very sincere when I talked to you know, told him what an honor and just amazing.
We were so excited though, weren't we? Let's face it. When you know when we were talking about the whole situation, we're like, wow, yeah, it'd be amazing to get him on and, you know, just chat with him about the movie and his work, and wow, truly a blessing. So thank you again, Mark, and you're an angel. You're awesome. And I do recommend people check out his clinic, anyone locally or anyone in the surrounding areas that are willing to travel. He does some great work, and a friend of mine can vouch for that. So, yeah, wow.
Yeah, well, I look forward to that. I mean, it's great, and of course, because you know, so many people around the world, and that movie was later put it out in various languages, for at least several of them anyway, and you know, so people around the world know the movie. You know, a large part of the population know who Mark Lester is, and there might be some of them, Oliver, he might not be able to say who played that part, but they certainly know the movie, and many know who he is. But I'd be inclined also as we spoke, to get more in touch with what he's doing now, and you know, talk about you know, various remedies, his practice, acupuncture. I've heard of acupuncture, of course, and I don't know much. You know, does it hurt? You know, I don't know. I'd like to learn, and I'm sure listeners would too. So we'll bring him. We're gonna do that again, as we discussed on the you know, previously. We're gonna bring Mark back on the show and talk more about you know, what he's doing now and what he's providing, and talk about some of his successes. And,
I've often wondered if it hurts. You know, because you've seen like clips on a movie or a documentary or whatever it may be on the internet, and you can look at it and you think, huh, could I do that? But I've heard so many great things.
You know, it would be cool, and I don't know if we can do this, we have to talk to Mark about it as well, is to have you, because you're close by, right? You can drive to his office, right? You're nearby where he is.
Yeah.
It would be kind of cool if we were able to, post-COVID, to bring in our Andy and Amanda Show camera crew, and have you do a on camera, you know, for the show, some what he might call a basic whatever acupuncture procedure with, and have you, you know, as Amanda from the Andy and Amanda Show, actually talk about that and what it is and what you felt and so forth, and we could put that up on our YouTube if you'd be so inclined.
That would be interesting.
I'll come over and hold your hand. I'll come over. You know, what many people, because we always have first-time listeners, Amanda and I have never met. This is the Andy and Amanda Show, by the way. And in case you're listening, who are these people? This is the Andy and Amanda Show. Amanda's in the UK. I am in the Los Angeles area of California. And we have never met. We were put together by actually the coordinator of the show, Cornell Butler, who is not unable to join us on this show, this episode. And actually, we've never met Cornell. Have you ever met Cornell? You've never met Cornell, right?
No, we've been friends for, I think, about 17 years. And
wow.
Yeah, and he's such an amazing guy, and we kept in touch for so long, and, you know, helped him out with a few things to do with the business he was in at the time, and we just became really good friends, and then, yeah. Boom, here we are all together. Absolutely stunning.
It really is. It's been such a fun ride. We've had such a fun time, and we've appreciated the fan mail and the comments, and you know, we're out to try to make a difference. That's why we're doing the show, to make a difference, to make some sort of impact. you know, we can volunteer for organizations and stuff, envelopes and make phone calls, but we wanted to go ahead and try to, you know, get the word out and voice opinions and feelings and thoughts and ideas and commentary on what's going on in our world and our environment.
Absolutely.
And open up to discussion with you all, with our listeners, and have you call in and have you email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com or call us at 515-605-9888 here in the United States. You dial one first. We have got to try, Amanda. Maybe I'll excuse us, folks, for talking some of the technicalities here on the show, but, you know, I'm sure you don't mind to hear us talk about what goes on behind the scenes. But what I want to try to do, Amanda, is
yes.
is call you. I'll call you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can do it now.
You're going to call me now?
I'm going to try to call you now. Can I call you on the – can I call you? Give us a second, folks. You can go get another vodka or something right now while we do this and come back.
Yeah, you know.
Can I call you on your – on the – you're in the 44 – you're 44. I'm not going to give your number out. Can I call you on the 44 country code number?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
So I want to try it. Give me a second, folks.
Okay.
Let me plug this in here. 44.
Oh, no
problem. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
It's dialing.
Phone is in hand.
It says it's calling. It's calling.
Oh.
No, it didn't go through.
No. You did put that sounds like a silly question, Andy. Put the plus symbol in front of it, right?
No, I didn't put plus symbol. Do I have to do that?
Yeah, put the plus symbol in front of the 44, and I think you miss off the zero at the beginning, because 44 is meant to replace the zero.
So do I put 044?
No. So basically where my number starts with a zero, you just replace that with plus 44.
I did that. But let me put the plus in. See if that makes a difference. Let me put a plus in. Folks, I hope you're enjoying this, folks. I hope you're enjoying it.
Well, I'm waiting, staring at my phone.
No, that didn't work. Let's try 44. Let me try it again. It says it's dialing. No, it's not working.
Oh, okay.
It says it failed or it wasn't answered. You probably saw it was Andy calling. You didn't get it.
No, I promise you, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Huh. Okay, it didn't go through.
I don't understand why, Andy.
Because I think it uses Skype. I thought it uses Skype. That's why I probably couldn't contact Elvis last week.
You used Skype for Elvis.
I tried to contact Elvis. He wouldn't answer his phone.
Damn it.
Oh, man.
I wasn't aware you used Skype. I would have tried him sooner.
Yeah, it's not working.
Huh.
I might, you know, we have a, I might call her IP, not IP, IT, or IT, IT. No, is it IT? Right, IT. Yes, person. Or IT. I might call IT and get some technical advice as to how to call a different country or a different planet, for that matter. Might want to try talking to the man on the moon eventually here.
I hear those people on Mars. Maybe we can contact them.
I told you about all those Apollo 15 documentaries, not Apollo 15, the Apollo Space Program documentaries I saw last week. I was up late watching.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man, I still recommend big time to our listeners, you know, on YouTube, Apollo 14, Apollo 15, Apollo 12. Just, God, you know, I went into that last week. I won't go into it again, but you got to watch it. Just invigorating as to what we can do as a species, as a population, if we put our minds to it, what we're capable of doing. And here we are, you know, having all these political differences and divisionism and fights and invasions and name-calling and – You know what I wonder? I just came across. Social media made the world very small, but has it been a plus to our society? I mean, I remember the days of black and white TV, of Leave It to Beaver, when the husband came home and said, "Hi, honey, I'm home." What happened to those days when the wife would sit him down, you know, bring him up? I shouldn't say that. Wait, London comes in,
bordering on dangerous
down, takes his shoes off, makes dinner. You know, hey, I got to tell you, I don't really feel that way. I'm more feminist than most women I know. Hey, listen, do you know? Yeah. Do you know, I grew up with all, you know, the strong mother and all girls. I've got a brother too, but I'm talking about most of my personal relationships have been all with women. I'd rather be.
That helps, yeah.
There's guys probably saying, "Oh, really? Now, really? You know."
I actually like women much more than I like men.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, but same thing. On girls that I wanted to have a more closer relationship, should I say, with, you know, talking and stuff, they say, you're more like my sister. You're like my sister. And I always got that. You're like my sister. I'm like, man.
I've heard girls say that to guys, you know.
Because I'm just like this sensitive new age guy. Bum, 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 sensitive new age guy. There's this Christine Lavin song by that title, Sensitive New Age. You should look it up, Amanda. Christine Lavin, Sensitive New Age Guy. Oh, it's so funny. You got to check it out, YouTube or whatever. And, you know, Sensitive New Age Guy by Christine Lavin. You got to hear it. I would play it on the show, but maybe I will. But just remember that. Look it up and let me know what you think of the tune. I want to – we had a loss here. Well, everybody who – passes away and dies is obviously a loss. But we've had a guy by the name of Andrew Brooks, who had led the development of the very first FDA-approved COVID-19 saliva test, died recently at the young age of 51 years old. He was a research professor at Rutgers University, and this guy led the development of the first FDA-approved COVID-19 saliva test, and he died suddenly on January 23rd. It was they thought it was a heart attack, and it was an amazing scientist, a dad, a family man, 51 years old. He was the chief operating officer and director of technology development at the Rutgers RUCDR Infinite Biogenetics, which is the lab that developed the first saliva test for COVID-19. The test was approved in April, just shortly after COVID started spreading around the world, and authorized for use at home a month later. I don't know if many people know that you can get a home test now for COVID. You can get a home test for COVID. You can get tested in your own house.
Yes. There's a YouTuber I saw do that very thing, and he had to do two tests because he tested positive on the one, and then after so many days, he tested again. And unfortunately, he still had it. But yeah, he's recovered nicely, bless him. But sorry, as you were, darling, as you were.
What, sitting or standing?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, I don't know. I think sitting. It's been a while for standing. You know what I mean? You get to be older, and you're like, you know. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, my mind going. Yes. Oh my goodness. I forget what I was going to say. Do you remember what I was going to say? This happens to me all the time.
No, I got sidetracked by the sitting or standing thing.
Let's go over the COVID numbers as we do every show. I don't have, maybe because the hour, today's numbers are not, well, of course, the day just started, 5 hours ago here, and I don't have any new numbers. But yesterday, I can talk about yesterday. Yesterday, I'll go USA, and we're number one in the world, and UK is number five. They moved up from number seven. But total cases is 26,767,229. That's how many coronavirus cases there have been confirmed in the United States. In the UK, it's 3,817,176. The total deaths in our country here in the United States, we've lost 452,279 people that were living 1 year ago that are dead now because of the coronavirus in the United States. Yeah. And the UK, 106,158. in the last 2 days ago, you know, since Saturday to Sunday, that 24-hour period, we lost 1,886 people, which is showing that, I hate to say positive trend when you're talking about almost 2,000 people dying. You know, lost their lives, moms, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, sons, daughters, and say that's positive trend. But compared to the numbers that we've been seeing, it's reduced significantly, 1,800. Yeah. And in the UK, the 24-hour period from Saturday to Sunday, 587 people died. Now it's Friday to Saturday. Listen to this in the UK. The 24-hour period from Friday to Saturday in the UK, 1,200 died.
That's
yesterday,
so
587 people. So almost it's in half. It's half.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just wonder, you know, I'm not going to make any kind of crazy, ludicrous saying or expression that, oh, well, Joe Biden's in there, he's getting better. That obviously would not be appropriate or correct. It'll be interesting to see what the trends are with his 100-day wearing a mask of the vaccine, of the, you know, two doses. Now people are getting their second dose now. You know, I'm getting my second. Man, did you get your first dose yet?
I have not, my darling. I had a text message through from my doctor's surgery to say that they would notify me when one would be available.
Let us know. And also, if you can, I was going to do this when I got, even with a cell phone, maybe I'll do it for my second one, but see if you can get somebody, when you get your first shot, to get a video of you getting it, if they'd be kind enough to do that. We'll put it on our YouTube and show everybody how benign and, you know, you don't even know you're getting an injection. For those of you who have a fear of vaccines, you don't even feel it. Believe me. You know, I'll try to avoid a tetanus shot if I can. But I hate injections, and I was talking to the woman who gave me mine, and you know, we're talking away, and next thing I know, she's got a Band-Aid out. I'm saying, you know, I'm thinking, why? Aren't you going to inject me first? She said, I already did. Really?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
you're like, what?
Yeah. And a little bit of a sore arm, and you know, Mark Lester was saying the same thing. If Mark, if you're still listening, you know, he had you know, maybe a little, you know, really, it's benign. Maybe a little sore arm for a little bit, and you know, I played guitar, flexing that muscle. I feel a little bit. Minor. I'm almost nothing. You can definitely live with it.
Yeah.
And some people have somewhat of allergic reactions where they get a red mark around the injection site, and their arm becomes a little more sore and feels like a dead weight. My eldest daughter had that the next day. Not a big deal. She couldn't lift her arm up all the way, you know, but it lasted a little while, went away, and she's totally okay with it. Nothing. Even if you get that, believe me, folks, it's no big deal. You hang around for 15 minutes to make sure you don't start growing a third arm and that kind of thing. But aside from that, folks, look up where you get that vaccine. Do it. Let's conquer this thing together. Amanda, we are about to wrap. This has been one exciting, wonderful show. We want to thank Mark Lester. Mark, wonderful to have met, at least on the show, and we hope to do so in L.A. I'll probably meet Mark Lester before I meet you, Amanda, if you can. Isn't that something? He comes over
it
here.
Really
and, but anyway
yes.
There's a lot more as the week progresses that we'll touch on the news and what's going on in the world and our environments and what's affecting us. And again, for future shows, we do welcome your calls here in the United States at 515-605-9888, or just go ahead and email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. We look forward to taking your calls and having you join this conversation of ours. So, Amanda, I guess you want to – you've been doing such a great job signing us out, and you know, it's I don't really know why.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
Maybe. But why don't you sign us out? And I think we may have lost Amanda. Okay, I'll sign us out. On behalf of Amanda Love, folks, and myself, Andy Kimball, this is the Andy Amanda Show. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Mark Lester. We'll see you next time, folks. Stay tuned. The Andy